Blog Talk Radio.
It's hard to talk, you know, doing the show with a paper bag over your head. Very tough. I've tried many times.
You know, the teams I root for, so, you know, I always have that paper bag over my head. But seriously, you know, we're going to lay off with a little Knicks, switch gears, talk a little NBA with the Knicks, and then end the show off with a little, you know, WWE with the big night tomorrow. We'll discuss that momentarily. And, of course, folks, ladies and gentlemen, you know the number. If you'd like to give out a call, give a shout-out or whatever, you know what to do. But leading off with MLB, your Yankees, they made the announcement that Freddy Garcia and Ivan Nova, they're going to be the fourth and fifth starters.
Yeah, I saw Ivan Nova pitch last season. He looks like he's good. You know, he has a great arm. He has some good stuff. Looks like he could be a good starting pitcher for us.
Yeah.
And Freddy Garcia, you know, he's been with the Mariners, the White Sox.
Yep.
And, you know, he knows how to pitch. So I don't mind him being in that fourth or fifth role.
And look like Colon, he's going to be out of the bullpen most likely. And you guys are having the Kevin Millwood.
Right, yeah.
Former Brave, former Oriole, I think former Indian also. You know, he's a journeyman pitcher, so. He's been literally all over the place.
Yeah. Hopefully those guys can help us out. You know, we definitely need some pitching. With guys like Pettit gone and, Pettit. You know, the major guy we lost this offseason was Pettit, you know?
Yeah, I was trying to think, who else did you lose?
That was a veteran guy for us who won us championships clutch in games. And now he's gone.
Like you call him Andy Pettit.
Yep, Andy Pennant, yeah. It seemed like every time he'd be pitching in a big game that made us win the pennant. So he's gone now, so we're going to have to rely on, you know, Big Three.
Yep.
Which is Sabathia, Hughes, and Burnett.
And yeah, you need that. You need that guy. You need that guy to step up.
Yeah, Burnett, you know, he had a horrible year this last year. He needs to prove himself this year again.
I don't know how you could get a horrible year on the Yankees, especially with that lineup.
You know, it happens.
I wouldn't think it was possible if
Hey, he's so Contreras. I mean, he's not the first. You know, the guy that's
Kagawa.
You know.
You have a point there. Come on, even some of those guys, they had winning records. Even Randy Johnson had a winning record, even though he stunk it up as a Yankee.
That's true.
But, he really needs to step it up. He's the key to the pitching staff.
Yeah.
You know, he's the one that could change the rotation from, average to a very good rotation.
Yeah. But we still got our ace, Sabathia. You know, we're gonna we could always rely on Sabathia. This guy to go 8-9 innings strong. Get you 20 wins. You know,
have another year out of Phil Hughes.
Yeah, Hughes I think will be all right. He had a good year last year, although in the second half of the season, you know, his numbers were not that great.
But yeah,
I think he'll be good this year.
Yeah. But Yankees, they're hoping he don't have that sophomore jinx.
Yeah. Although he's more than a sophomore.
Well, yeah. But like, as is, you know, this will most likely be his second full year as a starter.
Yeah.
Yeah, as you say, this is not his second year, but second year as a
starter,
full-time starter.
Yeah. And, you know, like I said, Garcia and Nova, you know, hopefully they just do their jobs in that fourth and fifth starter position and just give us quality innings, you know?
Hmm. Oh, yeah, of course.
And I heard that Feliciano's going to be injured. He's going to start. He's going to be on injured reserve.
Granderson's a little banged up as well.
Yeah, so we're also going to need those guys, especially against the Red Sox, who have a lot of left-handers in their lineup, so.
Yep.
You're going to need those lefty pitchers.
But what was I gonna say? Switching gears to the other team in New York, a team that Yankee fans don't really, you know, notice, the New York Mets.
All right.
Yeah, you just remember the Mets in New York. Yeah, but you know, they're, you know, trying to get ready as well.
Right, right.
For the regular season. But before I get into that, you heard what Buck Showalter said about Jeter and the Red Sox.
What did he say?
He was saying he was criticizing the Derek Jeter for, like, you know, standing, you know, at the plate and stuff.
What?
You know, he was you know, like, how he stands at the plate and he backs away from pitches, you know, when, you know, like, when he's at the batter's box.
Mhm. I don't get it.
No, he was just arguing how, you know, Derek Jeter stands up at the plate, and I'm gonna try to see if I can get his quotes quickly.
Buck Showalter said this?
Yeah, he was saying, like, how he pretty much, last year he was cursing at Jeter, you know, from the dugout. You know, how he stands up at the plate. Oh, here it is right here. He said, the first time he went to Yankee Stadium, I screamed at Derek Jeter from the dugout. Our guys are thinking, wow, he's screaming at Derek Jeter? Well, he's always jumping back from balls just off the plate. I know how many balls that team gets, and yes, that ticks me off. Of course, they substitute tick with something else. And here's Jeter.
But Showalter is coaching this. He's managing this year, right?
Yeah, he's managing the Orioles. He joined that Orioles last year.
Well, I'm glad he's focusing on the Yankees more than he is the Orioles this year. That's the way to go.
And here's what the wait, this more. He's gonna, after this, after Jeter's comment, I'm gonna tell you what he said about the Red Sox. I'm gonna tell you right now.
Okay.
Here's Jeter's rebuttal right here. I never heard someone make a big deal out of how someone takes inside pitches. So I guess I figure out this stride thing in my swing. I'll work out how I take pitches. And let's see. And in this interview, Jeter has more inside strikes called against him than the major league average. And here's Jeter's response. Jeter says, "You heard that, Buck? There you go." So pass that along to Buck. All right. So let me scroll down to here's.
That's
what,
a dumb thing to focus on, really.
And here's what Showalter said about T.O. Epstein. The you know, of course, the Red Sox GM. He said, "You got Carl Crawford because you paid more than." Let me start over again. You got Carl Crawford because you paid more than anyone else, and that's what makes you smarter. That's why I like whipping their butt. It's great knowing those guys with the 205 payroll are saying, "How the hell are they beating us?" And last year, Orioles and Red Sox split the season 18 games apiece.
Yeah.
And
Showalter, what is he, a rebel now?
Here's what Francona had to say. Francona said, "I don't remember them beating us that much. Maybe it was a different schedule." And here's lastly what Showalter said. Showalter said, "Let me get through spring training. Then we'll see what happens."
Showalter, he's going out with a bang after he gets fired this season.
Yeah,
wow.
I just got this from his ESPN article right now.
Oh. He's a rebel all of a sudden.
Talking trash.
Yeah. Nice way to go out. But you get your ass whipped by the Yankees and Red Sox.
I don't have no beef with the Red Sox, but it is good he did call them out, because they act like, you know, they're still that underdog team, you know, before 04, you know, before the idiots that never won anything. But their payroll is high, too.
That's true.
They act like, you know, the Yankees. Yeah, Yankees have, like, close to, what, $300 million payroll, but Red Sox is right up there too.
Yeah.
Close to the Yankees. But yeah, Showalter. I mean, he's stirring it up. I mean, they did have a great second half ever since they hired him as the manager.
Yeah, but their team stinks. They haven't gone anywhere since like freaking 99 or something. 98, whatever it was.
Maybe even 96 when Yankees and what's his name? That mayor guy, that fan who stole that ball from Terry Tarasco. Well, we know.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, the AL East is going to be interesting. Plus,
sure,
you're going to have the Yankees, you know, actually in a rare situation being a slight, being not the favorite to win the division for a
yeah.
change. Red Sox, you know, they're picked to most likely win the division.
Yeah.
And depending on how Yankees do in that with their rotation, you know, they'll have a shot to win that division. Right,
yeah,
at least the wild card.
It'll be a race to the finish this year.
Oh yeah. And then switching gears to the Mets. You know, Mets is getting ready, you know, they need the guys to get healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Santana, you know, he's going to be gone for most of the year. Maybe by the maximum, you know, maybe after the All-Star break. Maybe late July. Maybe he'll return, hopefully.
Yeah.
And Jonathan Nace, he lost 3-1 earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
Spring training, but, you know, that's his last start. But most important thing is, you know, Mets, the star players getting staying healthy. You know, when are they going to officially announce Brad Emus as the second baseman, which they haven't announced what they're going to do with that yet. But it looks like he's going to be the favorite. And who, you know, who makes up the team? You know, out of the pen. But, you know, Mets have, you know, they didn't really do anything, you know, they didn't make a splash in the offseason, but I predict Chris Young and Chris Capuano, they're gonna have a good bounce back years in their first years as, you know, New York Mets pitchers. So,
right.
We'll wait to see what happens with that.
Yeah.
What did you say?
But just keep my fingers crossed. Everybody stays healthy, and Reyes gets the extension, and you know, he retires as a Met with Wright. Some championship
hopefully
in their fingers.
Yeah.
But
hopefully.
I'm hoping. But switching to optimism to doom. You know what I'm talking about. You know what's coming.
Oh no.
Yes, the only team that me and you root for. Yes. I'm talking about the dreaded
girls.
New York State. Well, other than that, of course. But the New York Knicks. Yes,
okay.
I said it. Elephant in the room. I had to say it. The Knicks. Man, do I even need to summarize these last couple of games? Because it's pretty much the same games. You know, you just insert this team. You know, Knicks, you know, they get blown out. They go on a run. Cut it to like a 2 points or a run or a point. And then they let the team just score on them at will. And then they can't score any runs and points in the fourth quarter. You know, case closed. That's pretty much. Is there anything wrong? Did I leave something out?
Man, this
is there anything I left out that I have to mention about these last couple of games that Knicks lost 8 out of their last 9 games?
Man,
they're all the same story. It's the same story, you know.
No defense.
Yep.
And they've been playing slower too.
What are you saying?
They've been playing at a slower pace these past few games. I don't know if because Chauncey Billups came back but they look
probably
like a different team.
Probably because at this stage of Billups' career, I mean, you know, he's 35 years old. I don't think he could be playing that up tempo game that he used to play.
Yeah.
Before he became
D'Antoni
that
has
great
to go
combo.
If they don't make it. Yeah.
Man, he needs to go. I'm sorry. This guy needs to go. I mean, he's a genius when it comes to the offensively, generally speaking, but he coaches no defense, and he can't get these guys to score any points in the late, you know, in the fourth quarter.
Man, it's ridiculous for this team.
He got two of the best finishers in the game in the fourth quarter, and they can't even score points. You know, Stoudemire's turned into a turnover machine, which is that's like his only Achilles heel when you think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, other than, you know, I mean, he's improved on his defense, but, I mean, he'll never be mistaken for Ben Wallace, his heyday. But, you know, they desperately need to, man, they desperately need to play some defense for a change. At least
they
show
do.
Me that you're, I don't even know why the Knicks fans even chant defense.
We
you
can't
know?
Play any shit.
The fans are just chant, they play no defense. They play no defense. No defense. That's what they should be chanting. It's like they don't even play any defense. I mean, if me and you went to the Garden, should we even bother chanting defense? When did
I
even
I don't
play?
Say anything. I just watch.
That's the problem with the Knicks on defense. They watch. When someone's shooting a three-pointer, look at the team. It's like a cartoon. You're watching a cartoon, like Roadrunner. You know, not Roadrunner. Coyote. He's chasing after the Roadrunner, and then he runs, and then he looks down and notices that he's off the cliff, and then he falls. It's like they just watch when someone shoot a three. I mean, it's like an old school action movie. Like when the hero's trying to save somebody he loves, and he's like, no, but the person blows up or gets shot or whatnot.
Yeah, man, and they make
that's
these what? Guys, like, average-looking guys look like superstars, man.
I know. They make Tyler Hansbrough look like like Reggie Miller, man. The way how he was scoring on us. I was like, man, I mean, he was good out of college, but damn, it's not the NCAA tournament or something.
It's not.
This guy's just scoring on us. And 2 days in a row, he had a career high. 2 games in a row, a career high. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of these guys getting career highs against us.
I'm tired of it, too.
I used to think...
It's impossible to watch.
I remember back in the days when playing at the Garden used to mean something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Wow, this guy's actually scoring at the Garden, man, with those old 90 teams that actually played defense.
They got to get their act together, man. There's, like, 7 more games left, I think. Right? They're, like, what, 35 and 38? So they're...
Nope. And I'm starting to think they're not gonna make the playoffs.
9 games left, actually, I think.
I'd have to do the math. I can't do it off the top of my head right now.
I think there's 9 games left. 35-38,
right? 35-38?
Yeah, I think
82 game season. So, yeah, I suppose you're probably about right. I just can't do the math. I'll do the math afterwards.
Yeah, 8 or 9 games left, so, you know.
Yeah, but disgraceful, man.
For real, it is. Well, I'm looking at ESPN. Yankees play against the Tigers on Thursday. That's opening day.
So that's for you, for you Bombers fans out there. That's Mac over here, you know. Yankees start their season on Thursday against Tigers, right?
Yep.
Yeah, see, I think I did say that in the beginning. I think I did say they were playing against Tigers.
Yeah.
I just didn't. But any case, look forward to that, Yankee fans. Check that out.
Yep.
And, of course, the Mets are going to play on Friday night. But switching gears, lastly, it's going to be a big night tomorrow, man. Now, I'm pumped about this. You're, you know, pro wrestling fan, you know. This should be a Raw classic right here.
Oh, yeah, The Rock.
The return of the great one, the people's champ. Coming back, The Rock.
People's champion.
And he's not going to be in via satellite. So Miz and Cena can't be talking smack about him being via satellite. Like, they never been via satellite before. But Well, I'm hoping, I'm keeping my fingers crossed that, you know, he's going to challenge both of them for the title, a triple threat match at WrestleMania next week, today. 1 week from today, folks. I hope that's what happens.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait to see what happens, you know, if he touches John Cena or...
What?
If he, like, you know, steps up to John Cena and, like, you know, touches him and, you know, does something to hit him or something, you know, that's what I mean.
Or rock bottom him?
Yeah, something like that. Because, of course, if he touches Cena, Cena's going to touch him back.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But why are you touching me, yo?
I think there's going to be a rock bottom.
You think
or,
so?
I think there's going to be a rock bottom. Or he gets skull crushing finale or the attitude adjustment.
Yeah.
Someone's gonna get hit with a finisher.
Someone's gonna get their ass kicked.
Yeah, and Cena he's been saying in the interview that he'll do anything to fight The Rock. And he wants to have many matches against him.
Man. John Cena said that?
Yeah, John Cena said that.
Oh wow.
He don't want it to be a one time thing if they do fight. And Orton said that. What you say?
I can see that happening.
Yeah, if Rock does come back, yeah, I could definitely see a feud going between them. Because the worst thing that they could do is when they come tomorrow and then they hug, act like they're all buddies. Like they were just,
yeah.
That would just really suck.
Yeah, man. I'll be like, man. I'll break the TV if that ever happens. Hello.
Yep. But what was I going to say? Yeah, Orton, he has, like, this article on Yahoo. And he was saying that how, you know, he was pretty much talking smack about The Rock. I mean, some of the stuff he said was true. I mean, Rock hasn't fought in 7 years. How many matches has he fought in 7 years? Zero. He said Cena's fought in, like, 2,000 matches in the past 7 years. And then but here's where I disagree with him. After that, I totally disagree with him. He was saying, like, how that... Cena, and I quote, Cena will own The Rock. And then he was saying that how Cena owns The Rock on the mic because Cena doesn't write his own scripts. Rock gets script, his you know, he reads from a script, stuff like that. And he was saying, like, Cena's abilities are better or something like that.
Who said this?
Oh, Randy Orton.
Randy Orton said this? Wow.
Yo, I don't know. He needs to stop listening to the voices in his head.
Well, maybe he might be right, though.
What do you mean?
I mean, you know, Rock maybe does read this from a script, and Cena, you know, Cena's lines aren't that, you know, great as Rock's.
Cena's line isn't.
Huh?
He's defending Cena. He's defending Cena.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that maybe Rock is reading from a script.
Probably, but I think during the Attitude Era, you know, those guys, what made them good is that they didn't really read off the script. They, you know, they said, they spoke, you know what I mean? They shoot a lot, you know, they did a lot of pop-up, you know, like, you know, ad-lib, really.
Right.
Because the guys in the Attitude Era now, I mean, in this era, the PG era, or the Cena era, they really read off the script and they don't really react. Generally speaking,
right.
They don't react to the, you know, to the crowd at times. It's like they just read off the script.
Yeah.
And they don't ad-lib stuff. You know, sometimes you see him ad-lib, like when the fans are booing him and he's like, oh, we're a tough crowd here, and stuff like that. Generally speaking, the guys, you know, the young guys who like, debuted in the 02, like, you know, Cena, Orton, those kind of guys, they basically really read off the script. But tomorrow, that's going to be interesting to check out.
Yep.
It's going to be big this week. We got the MLB season starting. We got WrestleMania this Sunday coming up, 1 week from today. We got to see if Knicks come out of their slump. So how you feel about that, Macaulay?
I'm looking forward to it.
And I hope you're looking forward to it, folks, too. I want to thank you all, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to the show. See you guys next week. So long, everybody.